Right. So when you're here, I haven't seen Terry yet. We are live on BBS. It's a pleasure to be here. I thank everyone for being here and supporting what we as a group are doing.
Thank you too, Heis.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for all you do.
Thank you. So, and for those that are listening in online through BBS, if you're here for the first time, we also have, at the same time on Wednesdays, a radio show conference called Simulcast, and that is a show where you have the option to ask a question to our sources on the other side of the veil. And we had two more people joined in here. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hello, hi, everyone. Shirley from Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
And then it was you coming back in?
I'm here.
Right.
Terry should be here any moment.
All right. Two more people joined in. Welcome. Please say a name and location. But, of course, only if you want to, we welcome you. All right. Let there be light, let there be love, let there be good times.
Hi. You as well.
Good evening. Welcome back, dear Phyllis.
Yeah, this is my sixth time I've been calling back in because I keep getting bounced out.
All right.
I'm persistent. Persistent.
Don't give up. Don't give up.
Hi, Phyllis.
Persistence counts.
Hey, hey. Yeah.
Right. Hi, Cecil.
Thank you.
Hi.
Yeah, Cecil. Hi, Cecil.
Hi, hi. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. You too.
And for those that just joined in on BBS Radio, we welcome you. Thank you for being here. And I mentioned to you, after this show, at 7 p.m. Pacific, we go over to another conference call. Only accessible by phone, our daily whole planet healing gathering, where we put issues into the love light for transformation for the highest good of all. And we welcome you all to participate by calling 712-770-4340. And the access code is 250-513-pound. 712-770-4340. Access 250-513-pound. Thank you. All right.
Okay, I'm going to start.
I got the dings in.
And I'm going to mute everybody.
Muted.
And Lauren, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, get close to the microphone, all right? If you will.
Okay.
You're very loud on my end, Lauren. Louder than Wynn, actually. And today it is the 12th of October. Ready, Wynn?
I am ready.
The recording has started.
This is October 12th, 2020. Wynn and Terry and Lauren is going to be part of this call. And in this case, we're just going to start off. Lauren was supposed to be on last week and didn't get on till the very end. But we're going to start off. Well, the reason I have Lauren on the call is because on the past two consecutive Sundays, we did a channeling, two channelings, two conversations with the Elohim, and the topic was what people call the unified field. And actually, there's a lot of scientists that use that term at this point. I don't know if it's in the middle of the road science, but perhaps fringe science. There's words that are bandied around, like zero point energy, the unified field, and I thought that perhaps engaging Lauren in a conversation here would help bring more perspective to it. For those of you who don't know, Lauren is a brilliant scientist. He has a PhD, but the greatest part of his knowledge has come from his own researching. And he's done some amazing things in his life. One of them was, most of you know or heard about a Japanese fellow by the name of Emoto. And Emoto came out with some books on the healing power of water and how water changes its crystalline formation. Now, I haven't read his books, but the one thing I remember is that if you write love on a bottle of water and you keep it in your fridge, it increases the vibration of the water. If you put your hands on a glass of water... All right. Terry is just confessing her phone ran down, so she's plugging it in. If you put your hands on a glass of water, it changes the energy of it. And so, Laura, one of Lauren's expertises is in water and something called structured water. Another thing Lauren did, you know, he never talks about what he's done. I've searched his name and I've discovered these things. Otherwise, I never would have known it. And I understand that he doesn't like to be put on a pedestal. So I'm not putting him on a pedestal. I'm just saying this to explain why we're going to talk to Lauren today. The other thing he did was he was contracted to build a healing machine for a Japanese company, which they then marketed to various hospitals, and it was getting great results. I believe it's in Japan, and it's in Europe, And it was, as I understand it, it was his concept and his idea. And they were impressed enough with him to contract with him to actually build it. And it worked. It wasn't a rice machine, but it used frequencies and very low current moving through the body that would heal things. And the quantum field is this field of energy, sometimes called spiraling light, that is the fundamental building block for everything else. And it moves through all the dimensions, and right now we are in the middle of it. And now I do feel energies, but I don't know if I'm feeling the energy of the quantum field. Now, here is an article in Forbes magazine. What is a quantum field, and how does it interact with matter? And Forbes magazine is a fairly respected and an intellectual magazine. I'll just read a little bit about it, just to get us all in the mood. Quantum fields are the quantum theoretical generalization of classical fields. And the two archetypal classical fields are the electromagnetic field and Einstein's field of gravitation. One way to think about the process of quantization is that we first reformulate the still classical field equations in terms of mathematical operators, replacing some numerical quantities. This part is pure algebra, calculus. No new physics is introduced yet. But then we solve the resulting operator valued equations, including solutions that do not appear in the classical theory, and make the assertion validated by observations that these new nonsensical, in an intuitive, not a mathematical sense, solutions describe nature, including all the observed quantum behavior that contradict the classical theory. So, I'm sure you didn't understand that. One of the things that's interesting is they talk about equations and how it's put together with equations. And our sources tell us that when they look into the universe, they see it in terms of equations. So there's a connection here. And let me see. Terry, are you on the line yet? Nope. Okay. So, Lauren, let me ask you, did that explanation resonate with you? Did that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me. However, it'd be best if it. I tend to sum this up a bit. Okay.
Is that your phone ringing?
Not my phone.
You don't hear it, right?
I went in the office. No.
Okay.
Anyway, it's in an office. Quantum mechanics deals with probabilities, right?
Yes.
So, if you have a different phenomena that are going on, and you want to resolve it, you can make a statistical probability that it's going to be it's going to go in a certain direction, or that there's going to be it'll reduce down to a specific phenomena, and subordinate ones also. The main phenomenon that it will distill down to is your greatest probability, and that's basically what quantum mechanics deals with is probability.
Mm-hmm.
You can make different observations, and from those observations, you can make classical conclusions. But then you can also distill it down into statistical probability. It's going to be this is going to be the outcome at this time, at this place, you know, under these conditions, and it does have a definite usefulness, because you can predict events that haven't been able to observe and localize it down. The downside of it is that one of the precepts in quantum mechanics Heisenberg, called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And when it's not just one uncertainty principle. It's actually a series of them. One of which mm-hmm. is the one that's most famous, is that when you observe an event, you've influenced it as an experiment. When you observe an event, you've just influenced that the outcome of that event.
Mm-hmm.
Which has real pertinence to what. To what we're doing here, you know, in terms of our relationship with the Elohim, et cetera, and in the 7 o'clock calls, for example, where we're bringing into change in coordination with the Elohim. Changes planetary, you know, planetary health, planetary events, like changing the outcome of a hurricane, or
right.
moderating earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Now let me interrupt a moment, and just in case anyone is new listening in. That we started these calls because in 2002, I began a series of very unexpected conversations with an intelligence that was speaking to me through a personal relationship. They said they were the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and I got one of the names for God in the Old Testament, the name for God in the Book of Mormon, and the creators of the universe. Well, it was not easy. In fact, I didn't believe they could really be that. But I left the door open to the possibility, and they didn't tell me to do anything. They just answered questions, and they just said, give us questions. So I asked questions about their nature, how they interfaced with this realm. They said that they really didn't fit the old-fashioned definition for God, although they had the ability to interact vibrationally with things that could cause what looked like a miracle to happen. And they explained they did it with mathematics, okay? And that it was a very precise science. And when they interact with us, you know, it took me probably a few years to finally say, you know, I think they are who they say they are. And that they explain themselves to be a group soul that existed before there was any physical universe. And they were a breakaway from what they called the very first awareness, or the one infinite creator. And it was all a big experiment at the time of they're noticing that they exist. They notice that they are aware of each other. They knew that everything was part of everything else. And that held true even to the most finite aspect of the manifest universe that we're in. In other words, we are in the truth, in the highest truth, we are part of each other, and we are part of them, and we are part of the one infinite creator. And in fact, everyone is at the center of their own universe, and we all combine our universes to make this huge conglomerate that we call the universe. And then, of course, science tries to define the universe, the physical laws of the universe. They come up with the law of gravity, the law of magnetism, electrons, protons, neutrons, antimatter, dark holes. And here, I have the source that claims to be at the beginning of all that. And I've asked them questions about every aspect of that. And they answer scientifically and far beyond Terry is a channel. She's supposed to be on right now. But Terry is a channel, and they speak to me through her. And, you know, I have to say that for most of my life, I have not been a follower of channeled material. I was deeply touched by Edgar Cayce because his material was validatable. He did readings for people, and he demonstrated abilities that no one else had ever demonstrated in channeling. The ability to diagnose people, even when they were in another location, and give a precise medical diagnosis that was confirmed when the person went to the doctor. And I was very impressed with that, that he did thousands of readings like that. And he was almost always right and precise. Like you could tell what your blood pressure was, if you had polyps in your colon, if you had tumors, you name it. And people would go to the doctor. And I was scientifically inclined. I was a physics major. And I said to myself, how does this guy do this? And it became a question that I never thought I'd answer. But I did, because way after I had studied Edgar Cayce, I discovered a young man that I became convinced was Edgar Cayce. And I ended up writing a book about it. And I discovered, as I was learning at the time, that the intelligence that was speaking through Cayce was also a group soul. But wasn't the Elohim the group soul? They called themselves the Ra group. And they explained themselves to be a group that was composed of entities like us that had physical incarnations that eventually graduated this realm or got off the wheel of reincarnation. Terry, are you there yet? I think I'll walk over to the other room while I'm talking and see what's going on. The Ra group is different than the Elohim group. The Elohim group work with energy flows, big energy flows, and they're able to project energies wherever they're asked. That's why we do whole planet healing, because over time, I convinced myself that they really could do that. And there were like little and big miracles that kept happening around the relationship with him. But they never asked me to genuflect. They never asked me to do what I might have thought God would have asked me to do. And in all my questions, I learned how the traditional concept of God became part of our vocabulary. And it was somewhat simplified. But it's understandable how that could come about, because you have this very powerful group energy that can manipulate reality on an atomic level. And they're proving that to me, and they've proved it to many of the people who are on our calls. They've seen it happen. And it's why we do whole planet healing, because it's me rattling around seeing where Terry is. Terry, what's going on? Well, you should be able to turn it on if it's plugged in. Okay? All right.
Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, let me just conclude here that one of the aspects of the universe it's somewhat of a mystery. There's this thing called quantum fields, which is the carrier, at least as I understand it, the carrier of energy through the universe. In other words, all of us are in the middle of the quantum field. And we were asking them questions about it for two Sundays in a row. And everyone, when I asked them, I said, did you understand that? They said, we really enjoyed it. It was incredible energy. But they didn't quite understand it. And even I didn't quite understand it. So I'm going to let Lauren pick it up, because I have the idea that he understands it. And even with Lauren, I'm going to have to probably stop and start him along the way, because he can talk over everybody's head just as well as the Elohim can talk over everybody's head. They don't usually do that. And it's hard to grasp it, because it's kind of a new, for most of us, we've heard the words, but we don't have it intuitively. And I would like to approach this, like, on how to get it intuitively. Okay? Now, Lauren, let me just tell you, in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I do believe that there was something talked about. David Wilcock talked about this. He was very scientific. Talked about spiraling vortexes of light projected through the universe. And is that another way of looking at the quantum field?
You broke up. Say that again.
Spiraling vortexes.
Oh, yeah. On a singular scale, you know, as a unique standalone event, it's kind of like you take a look at this, an egg shape, if you will, of this vortex that's wrapping around and going back within itself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have, you'll have a counter vortex that's another egg, and the bases are up against each other, and the other egg is doing the same thing in reverse, inverted to it, and the oscillation is passing back and forth between those two. Okay.
Now, are these two eggs are not physical, right?
No, I'm saying like an egg shape, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this like vortex, and you could say that's a vortex of energy, and you'd be correct. However, how come that energy exists, and why does it take that shape?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you now go to another level, and now if you take two bubbles, and these bubbles are not material, they're actually, you're defining space with those bubbles. In other words, the membrane that bubble shape, maybe that bubble shape is spherical. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a bubble and say, oh, that's material. And that's the end of that? Fine, I know, I understand. But no, you don't. You're defining space you're actually defining the subject of what we call space. And it exists. Exists out of nowhere, in essence, it being created out of and no material being is being created from. In other words, it's from a pure void, the absence of anything in terms of shape, color, texture, material, energy, you name it. It's like a slate with, that's been completely cleaned. Now you eliminate the slate itself. It's not.
You know, you're losing me, Lauren. Wait a second, you're losing me. We've got We have two egg shapes, right?
Yeah.
Are they laying on top of each other? Are they touching each other?
They'd be touching each other base to base. However, the egg, or say it's a sphere. The sphere is defining space itself.
Now, the egg shape, the energy flows around the egg shape. Is that right?
We haven't gotten there yet. Energy hasn't been created yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are the egg shapes?
Space.
They're egg shapes in space.
No, they are space. You're defining space.
Okay, there's no space. I see. In other words, before the beginning of the universe, there was no space, right?
Void. Void. The absence of anything and everything.
So for a universe to start, there needs to be space. And the first thing in space are these two egg shapes of space.
Not in space. Wrong word.
Of space. Okay?
Yes.
Two egg shapes of space.
Start out with one, though. And it'll be more like a sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
All right.
And
that...
Is it a mystery how these egg shapes became in existence?
We can get to that, but that's not a basic thing. There's more than one formal shape of space itself, and the. But we're talking about right at the very, 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 very beginning, you know.
So all space is not necessarily related to these two egg shapes.
They're different kinds of space.
Now, did the egg shapes duplicate themselves, or were they huge, covering the whole universe?
The object is the creator?
Well,
are you trying to tell me the object is the creator?
No, I didn't say that. I said, were there multiple egg shapes of space combined to create a canvas for the energy, so to speak?
We can call this something like that. That's called a quantum foam, FOAM.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bunch of bubbles, like a foam, a bunch of bubbles. Mm-hmm. Each one of those bubbles is defining the parameters of space on an individual level. It starts off. It may start off with one bubble out of nowhere, right? And just defining space. But now when we have an interrelationship, because these bubbles are not standing still, they're not static.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're in motion. They're generating, they're spinning, and they're unfolding within itself, forming like this little vortex of space. You know, the laminate, the 11 layers of this vortex you know, are laminate layers of space, defining space itself.
This is prior
now,
to
when
Adams.
When it interferes with another bubble of the same thing, that that interfacial dynamics is what we define as energy.
Mm-hmm.
Energy is the result of the these dynamic interfaces of space.
Well, thank you for letting me interrupt you, because I can kind of visualize that, kind of, the beginning of it. Do you think the Elohim...
Talk about the size of it. The size of it, you can't define yet. You know, that little bubble is going to be spinning and it'll collapse down to points approximating zero. Never actually gets to zero, because if it did, it would no longer be in motion. It would be no longer existent. It'd be in existence and then drop out of existence. You know, when it actually reached zero. So you can only get down to approximating zero, and then expands out to approximating infinity. What's expanding out to infinity, approximating infinity, and collapsing down to approximating zero? Space.
Mm-hmm. And they're rotating. Is that right?
Yep.
And they're rotating at frequencies.
In actuality, what it turns out to be is the entire electromagnetic spectrum in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Not one frequency, not 10 frequencies, not 100 frequencies, the entire gamut of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm. And do you suppose that the Elohim was part of the creation of these rotating eggs?
In terms of space, et cetera. Yeah.
Yes.
Not solely, but let's put it this way, an integral part of it.
Mm-hmm.
A key part.
Is Terry on the line yet? No. Okay. Since we talked to the Elohim, we can double check these questions with them.
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Okay, are you tracking with us now?
Yeah.
You are? Okay.
I'm tracking, yeah.
Okay. So we don't have a quantum field at this point. We have a bunch of spinning eggs that are touching each other. Do they touch each other?
Bubbles.
Because
they can be egg-shaped, they can be other shapes, too.
And do they touch each other in random ways, or are they precisely touching each other in the same way?
It can be both. You have areas that would be in synchronicity, and in other words, in resonance. And you can have other ones that are like random, like chaos theory. Okay, and so you have areas that are in resonance, are close to resonance. You'll have areas that are non-synchronous, you know, not in resonance. It's a soup, and these bubbles are not always the same size at any one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are in contact with others. Some of them are just independent of others too. You know, it's like
they're free space. Do they change size, or does their size remain fixed?
No, they change size.
They do.
But the ones that are going like fast, they're spinning faster, for instance, like a little gyroscope, a little top, you know. Mm-hmm. The ones that are spinning faster have a more of a regularity to them. So you could say, oh, hey, the center frequency for that bubble is, you know, like a 252.796 megahertz.
Okay.
And
you had said previously that they contain the entire spectrum of frequencies. Now,
that's correct.
But now you're saying they're at a precise frequency. So,
yeah, different ones can have a different center of when I talked about probability in quantum mechanics, the greatest probability is for a center resonance where all the harmonics are adding up together, and the one resonance that's dominating would be that figure that in terms of megahertz. Okay. Another one have a different center resonance, but they all collapse down to points approximating zero and expand out in volume and expand out to points approximating infinity as they're gyrating. What's called in terms of oscillation, it's nonlinear. This peg or this sphere near the axis or a spin, okay, at one axis, one end, and at the other end, the top and the bottom of this sphere that's spinning and expanding out to points approximating infinity and collapsing down to points approximating zero and expanding back out and collapsing back in. That rate, which is expanding out and collapsing back in, would be called a center frequency or center resonance. Because at both ends, at both extremes, when it's spinning down to points approximating zero, you know that that the rate of oscillation spinning is going to be independent of when it goes out to points approximating infinity and collapses down to points approximating zero, that vibration, you know, is different, can be different than the rate of rotation.
Mm-hmm.
In physics, we call that a curl, or in mathematics, we call it a curl. It's curling out and curling back in, curling out, curling back in, at the same or different rate than how fast that bubble is spinning around in circles.
Mm-hmm. Now, when two bubbles come into proximity with each other, and they both have their independent frequencies and everything else, then I would imagine they would create a unique set of harmonics where they come together. And
that's correct. It also change the vibration rate too.
This also kind of relates to the way the Elohim described it. And they talk about, it's all about spinningness. Everything is spinning. And that when things spin and come together, they create what they call nodes. Is that word used in the quantum mechanics thing?
Yeah. And some people call that zero point energy, for instance.
So
636. 636?
56.
Are you serious? we're almost over, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you did a lot of talking.
Okay, sorry. I was trying to just set the stage here. You know what? I want everybody to remember this. We got rotating bubbles that create nodes, and somehow those are the beginning of the physical universe. Somehow the Elohim are connected with this in terms, I would speculate, in terms of the way they've described their role at the beginning of creation, and that these rotating frequency bubbles or eggs, now Lauren is calling them bubbles sometimes and eggs at other times.
There can be different shapes. There are different shapes.
So they're not all eggs, okay? Right?
No, they're not all not all spheres either.
And they're not all spheres.
Right.
But we're at the beginning of
the other four.
Understanding this very complicated way that spinning vortexes are created, which are called the quantum field, the wave particle theory, which has something to do with the spinning of these spinning of space and creating some kind of persistence of matter by...
Yeah, you're jumping subjects here, actually.
I know. Okay, well, I'm trying to close it and say these are things we can talk about next week if you'd like to continue. And I'll bet you'd like... Would you like to? Are you there, Lauren?
I can't. I can.
I mean, let's see where this all comes down to. We've got it simplified now, somewhat. We're down to a basic building block. And I appreciate you're taking the time to share this with us so that we can get it on an intuitive level. Because to me, when the Elohim talk about spinning this, it's always been somewhat of a mystery. And you're kind of helping zone in on this mystery, I believe. I believe what you're saying is connected to the mystery of spinningness being the basic building block of the physical or the manifest universe. Yes, does that sound right?
Sounds good enough.
Good enough? Okay. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just I'm like Mr. Wizard here that's trying to understand it in the most simplest way.
I think the basic thing is don't try to understand this from what you've been taught and what your current understanding is. It's the other way around.
Try to understand the way things are by understanding this.
Grasp it in the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have to start off.
And then it'll explain how you end up with don't try to put a square peg in a round hole.
Okay.
It'll be a point where your think changes, and you go, that's the way. My gosh. And that explains why I understood it the way I did.
Okay. Well, we will continue next week. And it's, Lauren understands these things and knows how to work with them, actually. He actually gets it in a very, I don't know what the word is, operational way, I believe. Because I think that we all want to know how to project energies to make things happen for the highest good of all concerned. And by the time we're finished with this, we may have some idea of it. And for that note, we better cut off. I don't even know if we're on BBS. And
we are still on BBS. Yes, we are.
We're going over to Whole Planet Healing, 712-770-4340, pin 250-513.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Wynn.
Okay.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle. Welcome.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
All this was explained in a Seattle book called OWASPI a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see you in a moment on Whole Planet Healing. Thank you for being here.
This session is no longer being recorded. Goodbye.